Words on Water. Words on Water.
Hi, welcome to Words on Water, a podcast from the Water Environment Federation. This is the host, Travis Loop. This episode is going to focus on green infrastructure, and specifically the National Green Infrastructure Certification Program that has been launched by the Water Environment Federation. Green infrastructure has been used for in recent years as a critical component to stormwater management, either through regulatory drivers such as long-term control plans, through municipal separate stormwater system permits and consent decrees, or just as part of a planned broader volunteer strategy. Many people are familiar with how green infrastructure offers environmental, societal, economic benefits. But the real key is that these benefits can only be attained if there is proper installation and ongoing maintenance of green infrastructure systems by skilled workers. And so that's where the National Green Infrastructure Certification Program comes in. So the Water Environment Federation has launched this jobs program. It provides training and certification in the field of green infrastructure. NGICP, as we call it, is now available nationwide after development of the program by WEF and the co-founder DC Water, along with 14 other water utilities. More than 250 people are now certified in the installation and maintenance of green infrastructure, and a lot of those have found permanent employment in the field, which is really a big point of this program. So what NGICP does, it establishes national requirements for working on green infrastructure projects. It promotes a skilled green workforce. It streamlines the process of connecting qualified talent to in-demand jobs. And it also really supports community-based job creation in U.S. cities. With the nationwide launch of NGICP, there's a lot of opportunities to get involved. People can get involved as being a certified individual. They can become a partner in this program. There's opportunities to be a trainer to help support people being certified and just being a sponsor. NGICP is also looking to work with philanthropic groups to reach underrepresented members of the workforce and rural communities. So there's been a number of national level open to anyone trainings that have been held in the past month or two, including in Alexandria, Virginia, Milwaukee, New Orleans, Peoria, Illinois, Atlanta, and there's one coming up in Southern California in June. This overwhelming interest in NGICP has confirmed the need to train people to work in this growing segment of the water sector. So we at the Water Environment Federation are really excited. Utilities that are part of this program are very excited. And we just were able to name our new director of NIGCP. It's Adriana Caldarelli. She comes to WEF after 17 years with the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection, where she worked in various water quality related programs, including wastewater management planning and combined sewer outfall permitting. A lot of her work was focused on green infrastructure, and she worked on the state's stormwater management program, developing design and performance standards. In this episode of the podcast, we're going to talk to a number of people, including Adriana, and we're also going to talk to Tim Williams, Deputy Executive Director of WEF, about the origins and context for the program. And we're going to talk to a few people outside of WEF to get the perspective on the value of having the National Green Infrastructure Certification Program. I do want to quickly rattle off the cities that are partners on this so you can get an idea for how popular it has been and how it's distributed across the country already. So you have it happening in Boston, in the capital region of PA and around Harrisburg, Baltimore, Fairfax County, Virginia, Kansas City, Louisville, Cincinnati, Chicago, Milwaukee, Montgomery County, Maryland, New Orleans, New York City, Pittsburgh, San Francisco. So it's already being embraced by a wide range of utilities. And if you want to learn more about it, you can go to ngicp.org. So now we're going to go and start hearing from some other guests about this program.
We are here with Adriana Caldarelli. She is our new director of the National Green Infrastructure Certification Program, joining our team here at WEF. Welcome.
Thank you.
I thought that it would be great for the listeners to this episode about NGICP to meet our new director and meet you. And so could you talk to us about your background? You came from the state of New Jersey, and,
yep.
And tell folks what your background is in water.
I worked in New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection for 17 years. While at the department, I did a number of things in the water sector. I did wastewater management planning. I did some research. More recently, though, I entered the stormwater world. And initially, I was doing the stormwater management regulation, amending those state regulations. And then as the state started renewing their CSO permits, they started really looking at green as an option for our permittees. And I was tasked with making that happen. And so I did some research in green, and I worked with a lot of our permittees. And our CSO permittees tended all to be inner city, older cities. CSOs were kind of the height of technology 150 years
right,
ago.
Right.
And so I met a lot of great, interesting folks working under very difficult circumstances. Many of New Jersey's inner cities are underfunded, and they have old and aging infrastructure and problems that are far more immediate than water quality. But I met some great people who never gave up, and they were embracing green to deal with sewage flooding in their streets, and they really inspired me. So we started doing guidance for green and helping our CSO permittees figure out how to get it into their long-term control plans.
Mm-hmm.
And helped communities build things and demonstration projects. So green became a great rallying point for lots of different interests in the city and in the state. And that was just a very exciting place to be and an exciting time to be there.
So as you had that experience with green infrastructure and really started working more directly with it, what did you discover as the benefits of green infrastructure?
So I think the one thing that I think is really amazing about green is that it's really for those small frequent storm events. So most of the rain events that happen on an annual basis, at least in this region, tend to be about an inch and a quarter, inch and a half. And that's like 90% of the rain events. Hmm. And so green infrastructure is really about managing those smaller storm events that happen regularly. And those smaller storm events are really the most polluting ones, because all of the stuff that gets deposited on streets and buildings, within that first inch of rain, that first splash, it's called,
mm-hmm.
all of those pollutants get washed away, and then they go into our water bodies. And what I like about green infrastructure is, it, by definition, it tends to be distributed.
Mm.
And so it's capturing all these small storm events everywhere. And so it's a much better water quality outcome, because those pollutants don't even make it into our waterways. In addition, it's pretty, and it's above ground, and it makes people feel like they're living in communities in areas of the country and of cities where there isn't any green.
Yeah.
Now you've got pocket parks, and you have rain gardens, and you have green roofs. So there's a social benefit to it as well. And in addition, there's been a lot of research done on the economics of it, and they're finding that low-impact development that includes green infrastructure tends to increase property values. And those properties that have these low-impact development techniques in them tend to sell faster and for higher prices. So there's just this whole host of benefits associated with green.
Why did you want to come to WEF and be the director of this program?
When I was working at DEP, my focus was always water quality. That was the job description. We were the regulator. All we could think about was water quality. But I spent a lot of time in Camden and Perth Amboy and all of these cities that are just beginning to reemerge. And there was always this green, there were always partners at the table interested in green jobs and helping their underemployed and their unemployed. And it was never an aspect of green infrastructure that I really was able to dig into, because I was always focused on, are you meeting our regulation? Are we getting closer? What's you know, what's the water quality benefit? And so when this job came along, I just thought, this is a great opportunity to take a look at another aspect of green and be able to actually dig in and have that be my job. I feel like we did some really great work in New Jersey, and we continue to do so for water quality, but I feel like it was a good time to maybe focus on the people instead of just the water. So
I like that. And now you're going to be helping to promote green infrastructure on a national level.
Yes.
So that's exciting, right?
It is. It's interesting to me because I'm really used to kind of that Northeast region and the way that our weather works and kind of the way everything works. It's going to be interesting trying to figure out how this benefits other regions of the country where, you know, the weather patterns are extremely different.
Sure.
And in addition, you know, with climate change and our weather patterns changing, I think that's also one of those kind of interesting aspects to see how green is going to perform under different circumstances in different places. And just an ability to meet different people and kind of understand their stories and try to help out a whole another group of people. So.
Well, and I know also when you talk about the people off air, we talked about how a key part of green infrastructure is the long-term maintenance and having it installed correctly and that it, you know, all that type of thing. And so this NGICP is really focused on equipping people with those skills.
Green infrastructure, like all infrastructure, is only good as it's well-maintained. And green infrastructure is very different than gray infrastructure. So for decades, we've known how to deal with our gray infrastructure. We may not always do it because it's underground and nobody sees it, but when we do it, we know how to do it. It's fairly simple. And even in gray infrastructure that has vegetation, like detention basins, it's just a quick mow, you don't worry about it. But with green infrastructure, we take advantage a lot of the soil texture underneath the systems. In some cases, we use very specific plants. And so it's really important to ensure that when you're installing it, that you're not compacting the soil so that you lose all the benefit of using the soil as a sponge. And the plant selections that we do make are there for a reason. And so if you're not weeding and picking the right plants, you know, maybe you've got somebody who doesn't know the difference between the plants, so they're just mowing the whole thing down and then you just wasted. That happens all the time.
Uh-huh.
Or you've got somebody weeding and they're pulling out the wrong plants and other plants are allowed to take over. So those things are really important. And, you know, across the country, municipalities and utilities are spending a decent amount of money on these systems and they're not realizing the maximum benefit because they don't have the green workforce, the workforce for this type of technology properly trained. And so I think this program is a great way to set a standard to ensure that when we're building these things, that our workforce is well informed and they're able to install and inspect and maintain these things properly. And there's also another aspect of our program that requires a professional development hours. So in order to keep your certification, you need to stay up to date on the most recent green infrastructure technology. So it's a dynamic, there's a baseline standard that we are offering to our certificates. But there's also this ongoing learning process that we think is important. And I hope that our participants in the program find rewarding and interesting. It's always great to learn new stuff, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I know that you're going to be hitting the ground running, and we have some trainings coming up even this spring and this summer, and you'll be out there.
I will.
Seeing how those go.
Yep.
I think coming up in Atlanta and in Southern California, Santa Monica area, and you'll be at some different conferences. So folks that hear this podcast will get a chance to meet you out there on the road and definitely can contact you. So Adriana, welcome.
Thank you.
To WEF. And
thank you.
We look forward to keeping in touch and seeing this program grow.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Let's hear from Tim Williams, Deputy Executive Director of the Water Environment Federation.
So this is really exciting news for the water sector that there is now a National Green Infrastructure Certification Program. Yeah, could you just kind of tell us what the news is and where we are with this?
Sure. So hopefully folks listening are already familiar with the concept of green infrastructure, but I'll talk a little bit about that. In clean water, we refer to green and gray infrastructure refers to the pipes and plants that we are all so familiar with, and we've made massive investments in those pipes and plants over the last 50 years, especially after the passage of the Clean Water Act in 1972. One area that did not receive as much attention in the early years of the Clean Water Program was stormwater, and now many municipalities are having to go back and address needs related to impaired water quality as a result of runoff and wet weather. And many cities, as part of their wet weather programs, are looking at big investments. And one cost-effective way that is cost-effective but also provides other benefits when managing stormwater is so-called green infrastructure, using natural systems or natural approaches.
Like trees and bioswales and all these roofs and green roads. And
we're talking about swales, for example, instead of curbs and gutters, things like that, yes.
And some of those other benefits are that it looks nice. It beautifies communities and helps reduce the heat island effect and all these kind of myriad of benefits to it. So as communities have looked to use green infrastructure more and more, what are the challenges that have kind of given rise to this program?
Sure. Many people may be able to look out their window at home and see, for example, a detention pond that may have been put in by the builder when their community was built. So some of these stormwater management installations that have been there require maintenance. They have to be cleaned or maintained otherwise. So in many cases, the municipal authority has inherited responsibility, or the county, say, has inherited responsibility for these installations. So maintaining them is a big responsibility. So cities and municipalities are working on ways to finance and manage operation and maintenance of stormwater facilities, just like they do with O&M for other infrastructure. With regard to green infrastructure in particular, there's a need for qualified people who can install and maintain green infrastructure, and the performance or the reliability of those green infrastructure installations depends a lot on whether there are qualified people who are doing the work. So a challenge that's come up is the need for people who are trained and knowledgeable in best practices for installation and maintenance of green infrastructure.
So there is this need out there and identified, and what happened that led to this program?
Sure.
How was this formed?
So when green infrastructure emerged as a new approach, it's a new old approach, I guess, the Federation was approached by a number of entities because we are known as the best practices organization for clean water. And just as there are best practices for other clean water infrastructure, there's a need to establish and publish best practices for green infrastructure. And in one case, we were approached by our neighbor in the Washington area, the D.C. Water, right? We literally look across the river at D.C. Water on the Potomac River, and we were asked to help them develop a national certification program for green infrastructure. D.C. Water has embarked upon a program to address their wet weather needs, and it involves both gray and green infrastructure. The leadership at D.C. Water had the foresight to want to try and earmark some of their investment in their wet weather program in green infrastructure. They got permission from EPA and the federal court as part of their consent decree to put resources towards green infrastructure, including supporting the establishment of this national program. So it's a program that benefits not just D.C. Water and the District of Columbia, but that will be available nationwide.
And so how does the program work? What's the process?
So we've been working over the last 2 years, along with D.C. Water and 14 other municipal partners, to develop the so-called body of knowledge for green infrastructure installation and maintenance. Based on that body of knowledge, we've developed a training program, and we've developed a certification program. So once people are trained, they can take an exam and become a certified green infrastructure installer or maintainer. Now that the pilot phase of that is complete, we finished the pilot phase in December of last year. The program is now available nationwide.
And through that, I know during that pilot phase, there were several hundred people, more than 250 people that earned their certification in cities like D.C. and Pittsburgh and other places
That's right.
around the country.
And this has been a great marriage of the two needs or two priorities that exist in many cities. One is the need to have qualified people to work in clean water programs and work for the clean water agencies. And the second is to have programs that address unemployment and develop the workforce locally. And that's been the emphasis here. That was the a big part of the reason that DC Water wanted to support the program, and a big part of the reason why it's been attractive in other cities is it allows a clean water agency to play a role in their own community in helping to address those workforce needs.
Yeah, I know that in D.C. in particular, a number of the people that went through and got the certification now have employment in working in green infrastructure.
Yes, and we've had an opportunity to attend a graduation ceremony in D.C. with the folks who went through the program, and it's a very inspiring thing to see people who may not have even been aware of this as a career opportunity before they were recruited into the program. They've gone through the training, they've passed the exam and become certified, and then they have good paying permanent jobs. They become advocates themselves for the program, and both, I guess I would say advocates for the program as an employer, but also an advocate for the program in terms of what the benefits are to the community.
What are the opportunities now that this is available nationally for entities or people to get involved?
That's right. Well, anyone who is interested can go to the website, which is www.ngicp.org, and learn how they can get involved in training. Mm-hmm. There'll be training opportunities, both on-site training opportunities around the country and online. And then once they've completed that training, they'll be able to plug into an exam to become certified. We are continuing with the municipal agencies that we partnered with to develop the program, and they will be offering training and job opportunities in their own communities, but then the program will also be available to everyone, whether they're connected with a particular municipal program or not.
WEF is always looking for other partners to come in and be involved.
That's right. As we've been working on this, it's engendered a lot of interest, and there are companies and consulting firms, technology providers, who all are part of the value chain of providing this green infrastructure service around the country. And they have recognized the value of this, and I would say if there's any company that isn't already involved that wanted to be involved, we'd love to hear from you.
We'll continue to hear stories, and folks should watch for stories of success stories, if you will, from folks around the country and see that this is really making a difference and see how it's going to grow in the months and years ahead.
I hope that we'll be back talking with you again in a year or so, and we'll be able to talk about having 500 people certified. We have 250 now, so in a year we hope to have 500.
Great.
That will be a real success story, we think.
Thanks a lot, Tim.
Thank you, Travis.
Let's hear from Tony Parrott, Executive Director of the Louisville-Jefferson County Metropolitan Sewer District.
I think it's a good program because just with any type of innovation or technology, there has to be smart investments. And from my experience, there has to be a place in our discussion about infrastructure for green infrastructure or sustainable infrastructure, as I like to call it, because it does two things. One, it gives you an opportunity to inform and influence the community about the value of these type of best management practices. It also gives you the opportunity to maybe right-size major gray infrastructure that is being installed before you make that investment. And then in some cases, it may make more sense to use more green or sustainable infrastructure in lieu of gray infrastructure. Mm-hmm. The example I would give you is in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. 3 years ago, before I came to Louisville, we had a major project that is called the Lick Run Project in Cincinnati that was actually won the 2014 U.S. Water Prize. Mm-hmm. And what we did there was, in lieu of putting in a $500 million deep tunnel system. We put in sustainable infrastructure where we actually went in, separated out the stormwater from the combined sewer system, rerouted that to a daylighted stream in a watershed and a community that have seen such disinvestment, population decline, and foreclosures, mm-hmm. To where now you have a seed that's being planted that is going to promote revitalization of that part of Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. And so when you marry green infrastructure and sustainable infrastructure and tie it to community revitalization, it makes a lot of sense because you're building a community asset that is going to then allow for potential additional benefits, whether it be new investments, whether it be housing, whether it be transportation, new tax credits, all those type of things can follow once you put a seed to revitalize a community that is really being disinvested or falling apart. Mm-hmm.
But then a utility or whoever puts in that green infrastructure, I know one of the challenges has always been the long-term
sure.
maintenance of that infrastructure.
Sure.
Right. So the idea of the NGICP is to create mm-hmm. this pool of skilled and certified workers
right.
that can then be used to maintain those.
Yeah, you know, I've had a lot of discussions with EPA over the years about the concern of being able to maintain and guarantee the performance of certain assets, particularly if they're used as an alternative to a CSO remedy.
Mm-hmm.
And so the National Green Infrastructure Certification Program would allow us to have a resource that utilities can go to and say, hey, you know, we need you to help us either through the planning or through the design or through the post inspections mm-hmm. of these assets long term and the maintenance of these assets long term mm-hmm. to make sure that, you know, we're making good investments and they're working. And so it opens up a whole class of what we call green class jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
To where in the future you have a lot of opportunities for folks that never really thought about, you know, working in the utility sector, an opportunity to be employed.
And in their community, making
yes.
making it a, you know, cleaner, greener place.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes.
Let's hear from Alan Heyman, Chief Marketing Officer for DC Water.
You know, you're a marketing communications guy by nature. What's and there's been great things happen in DC with green infrastructure. Why is green infrastructure a good thing for a community and a utility to be investing in?
Absolutely. Well, the environmental benefits are well documented. And I think the good news on green is that communities have started incorporating it as part of their long-term control plans more and more often and without having to fight as hard to do so as we did and some of the other early pioneers of doing that approach have done. As far as the benefits, it is something that almost sells itself. So you want to talk about amenities for a community. You have a community that feels better, that looks better, that smells better. And these are lasting benefits because if you take care of this stuff, it will last a very long time. You want to talk about jobs. We, as you know, in DC have a major tunneling program underway, something to the tune of $2.6 or $2.7 billion. And this is important work, the benefits of which will last for generations. However, it is not a major engine for local permanent jobs. Green infrastructure is. You can start at the bottom of your career ladder with green infrastructure, and the sky is the limit. And you need people to plant the material that's going in the ground, people to take care of the material that's going into the ground. And that is a community effort, yes, but what it means is that utilities that are taking responsibility for this kind of work are getting into the grounds business. They're getting into the tree business. And this is, you know, if you have the training, if you have the certification, you can get people going on this type of work, and it can be an economic engine for the community.
And so that's where I think kind of NGICP arose from, was that you can't just install green infrastructure and walk away from it, right? You've got to maintain it for, you know, in perpetuity, basically. And so I know that DC Water and Water Environment Federation and a number of other utilities were like, okay, we need people that are skilled in doing this, right? So, I mean, you've kind of been around for how this program formed.
Yes, and I've been watching great stories. We just had some news coverage last week, as a matter of fact. Some of the graduates of this program are going on to do great things already.
Mm-hmm.
And it is another story about the important role of the utility in the customer's lives. So we are the economic engine, we provide the jobs, and we are the source of all of these wonderful new green amenities for the community. And that's a visibility that, that people may not be used to when they think of their water and wastewater utility, because they may think of trucks and pipes and trenches and digging and loud and noisy. And we will continue to do all of those things to keep our infrastructure in order. But this is just a, you know, another way to bridge the connection with the community.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great. That Washington Post story that was out about NGICP, it was just great hearing from one of those graduates who went through the program, got the certification, and then got a job and is now, you know, working in this field. And it was awesome reading him talking about just, he feels good seeing the change in his community. It's a, you know, green infrastructure. It's above ground. People see it. It's beautiful. And he's taking pride in that too. So jobs and community pride and treating stormwater runoff and all those benefits.
And it's permanent and it's local, which is something that you don't get when you're digging a tunnel.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Good. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's hear from Joe Kane, a senior research associate and associate fellow at the Brookings Institution's Metropolitan Policy Program.
Joe, I wanted to talk to you about a new program, the National Green Infrastructure Certification Program. I know that you've spent some time talking to the Water Environment Federation and talking to DC Water, and you've learned about this. So from your perspective here at the Brookings Institution, what do you think the value is of a program like this?
Well, yeah, I mean, and for many of my conversations, what I've heard in terms of their workforce concerns, right, is actually hiring and training a skilled workforce to take on many of these long-term infrastructure activities, if you will, particularly in green infrastructure, which is an emerging area of interest, I think, for many utilities and regions. And so having a portable credential that's leading to transferable skills, that's leading to long-term training, setting up workers, I think, to ultimately more durable career pathways, right, in this sector is important. And that it's an innovative career too, right? That it isn't just strictly focused in one treatment plant in one market, in one state, but actually it's involved in all types of projects and all types of activities, many of which are new and worth testing.
And I know that, you know, some of the benefits here are that it has a low, kind of a low barrier to entry, if you will.
Right.
It doesn't require someone to have a college degree or an advanced degree. People can come in and get this training.
Right. And so as we think of the literal onboarding process, right, to get more prospective water workers into the door, not just in utilities, but even perhaps in other employers too, how do they actually get the tangible skills and training they need? And so these types of credential efforts, I think are worthy of certainly additional attention,
sure.
Perhaps additional replication in other markets that are trying to learn from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just purely a youth workforce issue, right? That it maybe it's true for, you know, high school students or perhaps students, right, who are just leaving or entering college, but also perhaps individuals who may be a little older who are looking to retrain and try to find a career in this space too. So I think in that respect, it's important.
Yeah, I think it's beyond just a job. It's a potential career path.
That's right.
So, yeah,
that's right.
Great. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Words on water.